Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming to church, even for a few minutes, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity. We pray that you will anoint the preaching and teaching of your word, because it's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Without your word, we're in darkness. But we need light, Lord. We need the light of this life, Lord. So grant for your word to shine in our direction this morning. May our eyes be open. May you grant us life and light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Right. Thank you very much, and you may be seated. I just have a few minutes to share the word of God with you. And then... Wow. All right. Amen. So I've been sharing with you since last Sunday about greater love. Hallelujah. I believe the world is love starved. And the world is looking for love. Everybody's looking for love. Amen. And everyone enjoys being loved. Everyone is trying to find someone to love. And everyone is finding someone who wants the love they have to offer. And everyone is trying to find someone who will not only receive the love that they have to offer, but they will give them back as much love as they're being given. Except that most of the time we expect more. You know, in other words, if I'm going to give you 10 units of love, I'm hoping that out of you I can get 15 or 20 units of love. Hallelujah. But the Bible teaches that God is love. That means outside God, there is not much hope of anyone walking in true love. The truth is that love has many elements and has many characteristics. And people can walk in the characteristics of love for a short time. Do you see what I'm saying? The only reason why it does not last forever is because that love is not connected to the source of love. Do you see what I'm saying? See, if I was to hold out or stand, if I was to take a bottle of water and I was to start sprinkling the water in that bottle on you, you're likely to get wet, at least a little bit. A few drops will come on you. But that experience will not last forever. I just have to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. But at a point, I am going to run out. Even if I'm making the effort. You see what I'm saying? Even if I'm still willing to do it, I'm still willing to sprinkle that water. Do you see what I'm saying? You want me to try it? You see, you give me, lend me this bottle for a few minutes. Okay, don't worry, I'm not going to put it on you. But what I'm saying is, if I have this bottle of water, and I open this thing and I start to throw the water around and splash it around, you're going to experience some of it. You understand? But I'm saying that after a while, even if I keep doing it, even if I keep swinging my arm, and even if I'm willing to splash the water on you, soon there will really be no water to splash on you. The reason is that this thing is not connected to an unlimited source of water. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But if I was to bring a water hose in here, which is connected to one of those sinks in the restroom, with the water running through it, do you see? and I start doing this, you better run. Because it's going to be endless. It's not going to end soon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, when people say they have fallen in love, a lot of them really mean that they have encountered a splash. Do you see? They have encountered a splash of love, which just comes from someone who has copied perhaps one of the characteristics of love. And then people sign up their entire lives and perhaps the rest of their existence in response to the splash. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can you ask Lamech and Co to come in, please? Yeah. Right. Amen. So people actually sign up, in response to the splash. And then in time, they begin to realize that it was just a splash and that it wasn't any long-term experience that is being promised. So the whole world is crisscrossing all over for love. Everybody is looking for love. Every animal is looking for love. Every human being is looking for love. And sometimes people fall in love and then fall out of love. And someone who says, I no longer have love for you, suddenly has a lot of love for her. So if you run out of love here, how do you come by the love that you have for here? Are you getting what I'm saying? That you don't have love anymore in you to walk in love towards him. But it looks like you have a lot of love for here. So it looks more like the love that you are claiming to exhibit or walk in is actually being generated by who you are loving. Wow. Isn't it? Rather than something that you have to offer. So anyway, I'm just saying these things to help you understand that it is a real confusing subject if you try to talk about love outside God. That is why there are more love songs than any song on any other subject. I don't think there are songs that talk about anything more than love. Everyone writes a song, they write about love. They say something about love. You know, last week I was singing one of them to you. I want to know what love is. And I want you to show me. Hallelujah. But we read this powerful verse from John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And I want us to go back to it. John chapter 12. John chapter 15 from verse 12. John chapter 15 and verse 12. It says, this is my commandment. John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment. That ye love one another. That means love is a God thing. God is the one who initiated the whole concept of love. Hallelujah. Actually, before we even go there, I can show you this other verse for free, which is in 1 John 4:7. You know, and 8. 1 John 4:7-8. It says, 1 John, not John chapter 15, verse 1. 1 John 4:7-8. It says, this is John chapter 15, verse 7. Okay, I won't say anything. Is it there? All right. It said, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Everybody say, love is of God. Love is of God. Say, love is of God. That means love is a God thing. Isn't it? Yeah. Love is something associated with God. Do you understand? It's like when you say something is, it's like someone saying this is an American thing. When someone says this is an American thing or this is of America, this is an American thing, they mean that whatever it is particularly found among Americans, isn't it? It means that thing is more commonly found around Americans. It's an American thing. Do you see? So when you say love is of God, it means love is found around God. Do you understand? Love is not found in the nightclub. Love is not found at work. Love is not found at Wendy's or Chick-fil-A's. Love is a God thing. Amen. That means your chances of finding God, love outside God are very slim. Your chances of experiencing true love outside God are very, very slim, because love is of God. And everyone that loveth, look at it, everyone. What does everyone mean? Do you think you understand the word every? Who thinks you understand the word every? Yeah? Are you sure? What do you think every means? All. And all means what? And every means what? Without exception. No exception. And without exception means what? No one left behind. Okay. So, by your definition, every means everyone. It says everyone means there is no exception. Everyone that loveth is born of God. Is that surprising? It's not surprising. Because it says love is of God. So anyone who has any of it to offer must know God. What do you think? Yeah. It's a bit like saying that, you know, this is an American thing. So anyone you find walking in it or living like that or practicing that must have been associated with America at some point or with an American in some way. What do you think? So it says, everyone that loveth is born of God. Anyone that loveth, anyone who walks in love, anyone who has true love to offer, do you understand? Necessarily must be related to God one way or the other. Do you understand? He says he must be born of God and he must know God. Wow. He must know God. He must know God. Wow. So people who do not know God do not have any love to offer. That's not the same as they cannot have sex with you. That's not the same as they can't take you out to dinner. Because those things are not the definition of love. Are you getting what I'm saying? It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth, without exception, anyone who has any love to offer must be connected to the source of love. He says, you know, he's born of God and knoweth God, because love is of God. Love is a God thing. Love is something you find around God. So if you have any love to offer, you must know God. The more you know God, the more love you have to offer. Do you see what I'm saying? Look at the next verse, verse 8. He says, he that loveth not. See, this is the more common type of person we meet in life. He that loveth not. Yeah. He that loveth not. The reason is he knoweth not God. Because God is love. In other words, it is impossible to have God and not have love. Because God is love. And so anytime you are experiencing a shortage of love, usually you're experiencing a shortfall of God's presence and his knowledge of God in the place where the shortage is coming from. Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you? Isn't this powerful? Yeah, I think this explains everything. So you can have human beings making promises, you know, I want to love you. I want to know you. I want to do this for you. You know, I've been missing you, you know. I've been doing this, what? I'll give you my heart, you know. I'll give you my heart and I'll run on batteries. I will live on batteries. Wow. People have fantastic things they can say when they want to engage your attention. But you must not confuse that with love. Hallelujah. It must not be confused with greater love. It must not be confused with the love of God. Hallelujah. The more you know God, the more you develop your capacity to love. Because human beings are complex. Do you understand? One day you like somebody, it is not long after that before you realize that now you unlike them. See, Facebook has now taught us how to like and unlike people. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So one moment you are madly in love with someone, and then another moment you now want to unlike the person. You don't like the person anymore because the love is finished. Do you see what I'm saying? So he that loveth not knoweth not God. Knoweth not God. So if you're looking for love, you need to be looking, or looking for love is actually synonymous with looking for someone who knows God. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? And the more whoever it is knows God, the greater their capacity to give you what you want. Hallelujah. The greater their capacity to give you what you need. The less the person knows God, the less their ability to give you what you need. And it's so painful when someone is looking up to you for something you cannot provide. You know, last week I was asking this little girl to tell us the square root of 257. It's been a week now. Do you know it now? You know the square root of 257 now? Do you know the square root of 257? What is it?
16.
So you've been talking to someone who knows it. Do you understand? And even after interacting with someone who knows it, you're not even sure what you're offering. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So love is like that. We don't have a good chance of being good givers of love, or good receivers of love for that matter, if we do not know God, who is the source of love. Hallelujah. Amen. Every human being who intends to experience love, who intends to give love, must know God and his kind of love. Amen. If you do not know God, you cannot be a good giver of love, because you just don't have it in you to give. And if you do not know God, you cannot be a good receiver of love, because you won't even recognize it when it starts coming towards you. How do you even know what you're looking for? Do you understand? And a lot of people don't even know what they're looking for. That's how come you meet someone who is beating you up and says, "But I love you." And she says, "Yes, it's love." Do you see? That is how come you meet someone who says, "Well, if you love me, you're going to sleep with me." And the person says, "Yeah, it's true." Because you don't know what you're looking for. You don't know what love is. That's why someone can tell you love equals sleeping with someone. You know, say, "Let's make love. Let's make love. Let's cook love." It's because you don't know what it looks like. You see, Now, when you're looking for someone you don't know, if you don't know who you're looking for, you can walk right past him.
Wow.
And still keep looking for him.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Or you can mistake him for another person. You can walk up to someone and assume this is the person you're looking for and start to embrace the person. One day I went to somebody's house and I was looking for the person. The person's sister came out of the house. I assumed that was the person. I just ran and I embraced the person. You know, now as I embraced her, she kind of froze. You know, and that was not what I was expecting from the person I had gone to look for. So it made me pull back a bit and just take a second look. Then I realized, oh, wrong person. Wrong person. The thing is that she looked so much like her sister, I thought that was her. But if I had looked closely, I would have realized that this one was a little bigger than the sister that I was looking for. So you realize when you don't know something very well, you can call, embrace a whole lot of others and say, this is it. And I dare say that many people have embraced so many things in the name of embracing love. Some have embraced snakes and scorpions and other painful experiences thinking that they were embracing love. Hallelujah. It is critical that you understand who God is if you're going to walk in love. Now back to John chapter 15 and verse 12. John chapter 15 and verse 12. He says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Amen. He said, this is my commandment. This is what I'm telling you. It's a commandment that the only love that passes in this world is as I have loved you. The love that we experience from God is the kind of love that we are expected to give to one another. He says, as I have loved you, so must you love one another. That's what I'm commanding you. So if you're not familiar with as I have loved you, see, that's why I'm saying that if you haven't experienced that love yourself, you will not know what you're supposed to be giving. You will not know how to give it. You will even expect it from the wrong source. Hallelujah. He says, as I have loved you, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Then verse 13, the next verse says, greater love. Greater love, that means love doesn't get better than this, okay? He says, greater love has no man than this. That means you can't love beyond this. So this is the cup of love. This is the ceiling of love. He says, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for friends. Hallelujah. Now, God is showing us by this verse that he is the ultimate in love. And the love that we find in Christ is the highest kind of love that exists. Hallelujah. That is why when people encounter the love of God, their thirst is quenched. Do you see what I'm saying? Their thirst is quenched because only God can love you to this height. Amen. Only God can love you to this level. And when you have experienced the greater love, when you are you know what the best form of love looks like, you know, when you have connected yourself to the ultimate source of love, you tend to require less from people. You tend to need less from people because you have experienced the greater love. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like someone who had a good meal before he went to a party. When you have a good meal before you go to a party, you don't seem to care much about what they're serving. And it doesn't bother you that the food doesn't taste so great because you are not needy. Do you understand? You don't depend on that. But when you have arrived at a party, completely hungry and starved, and you haven't eaten anything all day, do you understand? Even when they are delaying with the service of the food, you start to get irritated. I mean, someone has invited you to his party and you are angry with him for not bringing out the food on time. Do you understand? And it looks like he's doing something wrong. But I think that the real problem is that you have a pre-existing condition that predisposes you to irritation from what is rather normal to them. Do you think you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You are suffering from a pre-existing shortage of food that has created a certain something in you. Do you understand? And has caused you to exaggerate your expectations from someone who invited you to a party. But another person who has, you know, stopped somewhere on their way to the party to take their fill, eating everything they could find before they came to your party, they are not so needy. They are not so needy. Today, the world is full of people who are needy. They are love starved. They have not tasted the greater love. They don't know God. They do not have a relationship with God. Because remember, you see, the other verse we read, it says, the person must not only be born of God, the person must also know God. That means the person must have a relationship. You don't know someone just by knowing their name. For you to know someone, you need to have an ongoing relationship with him. You need to have a relationship, an exchange. You talk to them, they talk back to you. They relate with you, and out of that, knowledge is born. You know the person. That kind of interaction causes you to know the person. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, everyone that has love is born of God. That means they are saved. It means they are born again. And then beyond that, they know God. That means they have a personal relationship with God. Amen. Now, if you don't have that personal relationship with God, often it leaves you love starved. That is when people begin to walk in starvation, because they do not have, you know, what God gives or what God is to a person. Then soon they start to look for it in people. Hallelujah. They start to look for it in people. And they start to place a demand on you that you cannot meet. I would run away from anyone who tells me that, you know, I love you more than anything else in the world. Or that, you know, you are like God to me. But I realize ladies especially like to hear such things. They like people to say, I cannot live without you. Whoa! That is an overload. A person who says to you, I cannot live without you, you know, is putting on you a responsibility that is much more than you are capable of handling. Do you understand? It is like plugging something into a power source that is too big for the thing. You are just going to be, you are just going to explode. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. No human being is supposed to take the place of God in a person. No human being is supposed to be to you what God is supposed to be to you. Do you understand? You can't put a human being in the place of God in your life. It's only a matter of time before you will be disappointed. And you will really be disappointed. It's guaranteed you will be disappointed. The date we don't know. But your disappointment is surely scheduled. And it's just coming down the line. It's going to show up. Amen. It is so important that we all have a real relationship with God. You need a relationship with God. Otherwise, you're going to expect from people what God is supposed to give to you. Hallelujah. Amen. One day, Jesus met a certain woman. What are you doing here? Jesus met a certain woman one day, and the woman had, you know, been all over the place. Jesus asked her to bring her husband. I think Jesus wanted to take them out to lunch or something. And the woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "I know it. I know you've already had five. And the one you're with now is not even yours." It's like you're now done with husbands. Now you're trying a hybrid. Okay. You're done with the full-time version. You know, when you have a husband, that's full-time. But now when you go part-time, now you want to try husband sharing. You want to try a hybrid, another version of it, just to see if it's going to work. Because she probably had been disappointed so many times. Do you understand? But one of the things Jesus told that woman is that if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for water. Because I have something I can give you. And when you drink that, you will never thirst again. In other words, that feeling in you that keeps you jumping around from man to man to man to man to man, that feeling, that hunger, that thirst that you have in you, that sends you from person to person to person. When you encounter me, that feeling will be satisfied permanently. Hallelujah. He says, anyone who comes to me, he will not thirst again. No, that thirst will go away. Hallelujah. And so you realize that what we are really missing is a depth in our relationship with God. Rather than someone being to you something, we are actually missing depth in our relationship with God. Hallelujah. Where's Vanessa? Amen. So we need that relationship. We need an intense, active, serious relationship with God. We don't need occasional encounters with Him. We don't need shallow encounters, shallow experiences with God. We need to have a relationship with God that meets our needs at the very core of our being. Hallelujah. And once we experience that, we are going to find ourselves needing less and less from people. You're going to find out that, you know, yeah, you can accept imperfection in people. You can accept it. I mean, just like if I go to a party and I'm already full, I can accept that the chicken wasn't well cooked. I can deal with it. What do you think? I can deal with it. I won't be upset because the chicken is cold. I won't be upset because I'm already full. Do you see what I'm saying? Much as I would have preferred the chicken to be warm and nicely spiced and seasoned, it didn't come out that way. But I'm okay because I'm already full. Do you understand? But when you're hungry and you're starving, and then the only piece of chicken that lands on your plate is red in the center. Do you see? Then you begin to feel cheated. You begin to feel that this is not fair. You begin to feel that even what you paid in gas to get to the party could have bought you KFC and you would have landed a better deal that way. You start to be offended by what should not offend you. It is because deep within you, you are missing something. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, let me share with you seven things about greater love real quick, and then we're going to close. Amen. Number one, seven things you should know about the greater love. There are different kinds of love, but Jesus' love is the greatest. Hallelujah. So the love that we experience from God is the greatest love The love of God is the greatest love. That is the top version of love. Hallelujah. The platinum edition of love is the love of God. It's not the love of a man. It's not the love of any human being. Hallelujah. It's not the love of any human being. It is the love of God. That is what gives us the standard for loving people. Hallelujah. Then number two is that the love of Jesus is greater than the love of brothers. The love of Jesus is greater than the love of brothers or siblings. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we are talking about the all-encompassing love that swallows everything up, in which we find every kind of love. Okay? It says it's greater than the love of brothers. It is greater than the love that you can get from your brother. Brothers fight. Brothers argue. Siblings fight all the time. In fact, there are certain families that siblings don't even talk to each other. They don't have any relationship at all. Do you understand? You would have thought that someone with whom you have shared a womb, womb mates, you know, that you would have a bond with the person for life. But that's not how it turns out. Some people fight, they separate themselves from each other, and they never reconnect again. Hallelujah. So the love of Jesus is greater than the love that you can expect or experience from your brother or your sister. Hallelujah. When you find in the church, you find sometimes people who get to know each other from the church become closer than, they have closer relationships with people in the church than with their own siblings. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It is because the relationships we find in church are created by the love of God. I love God and you love God. And that creates a relationship for us that is as strong as the love that we have for the God who brought us together. Do you understand? But the love between siblings, it just comes from someone who has been forced on you. You just started growing up and then they said, this is your brother. Or this is your sister. And you look at them, he's so different. You know, his ideas, everything is so different. But well, I have to accept you because they say you're my brother. I don't get to choose you. If I had to choose, I wouldn't choose you. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So there is a love of brethren. But the greater love of God is greater than that. Hallelujah. Number three, the love of Jesus is greater than the love of women. Or men, for that matter. Hallelujah. The love of Jesus is greater than that. It's greater than the love of a man. It's greater than the love of a man. When you find the love of Jesus, you're not going to need that much of the love of a man. Hallelujah. Yes. You're going to get, yes, something that supplements, but it's not the main thing. You see, I was telling you last week about the cake. You remember the cake?
Yeah.
That the cake has the icing on it, isn't it? The cake has the icing on it, but the icing is not the cake. The icing makes the cake beautiful. It makes the cake nice to look. It gives it a good presentation. But you'd rather have the cake without the icing than the icing without the cake. Isn't it? So take the love of God as the cake. Amen. And take the love of a woman or a man as the icing. That great, if you can have the cake and have the icing on top of that, is a great blessing. It's nice. But don't go after the icing while you sacrifice the cake. It's little children that do that. It is because they are not mature. Because they don't understand what is good for them. If they knew what was good for them, they wouldn't go for the icing and skip the cake. So when you start to do that, when you as a human being begins to pursue the icing, begins to pursue a relationship with someone and esteem that relationship greater than your relationship with God, you have started to pursue the icing over the cake itself. And it won't be long before you start going hungry for something else, because the icing cannot satisfy you. By the time you eat enough icing to be full, you'll be dead. Amen. You'll be sick of all kinds of sicknesses and diseases because you got too much of that. Hallelujah. And that's what happens to people who only have a human being to look up to. People who do not have a relationship with God, but just have only a human being to look up to. That's what happens to them. Do you see what I'm saying? Which is that you become sick because you can only have so much of a human being. At a point, that must stop and God must begin to take that place. When God does not step in when he should and a human being remains in God's place, then you start to experience disappointment and pain. And we have all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Say amen. Amen. The next one, number four, is the love of Jesus is greater than the love of the nation. Love of a nation. When someone loves Jesus, it is greater than the love of your country. Now, we who live here, we love our country very much, isn't it? Yes, but the love of God is greater than that. Hallelujah. Number five, the love of Jesus is greater than the love of a mother for her children. The love of Jesus is greater than the love of a mother for her children. Now let's read the scripture, Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. Isaiah 49 and verse 15. It says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, she may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Amen. It says, Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? In other words, it's presumed impossible that a woman will forget her child. But these days, women forget their children. You just have to be watching the news and soon you see that someone left her child in the car. It's a very common thing here. People go shopping, you know, and the attraction to the sale at Macy's is greater than the remembrance of the child that arrived with them at the mall. You know, and they leave their child. I mean, they go to the mall and they forget that they came with a child. They leave the child in the car, you know, and, you know, get into all kinds of trouble because of that. Hallelujah. Amen. So the answer, the scripture is true. It says they may forget. It says true. They may forget. You would have thought they won't forget, but he says they may forget. They may forget. So we are talking about a love that is so strong. When we talk about the love of God, we are talking about a love that does not fail. A very highly potent kind of love that takes care of a person in a certain complete way. Hallelujah. He says they may forget, yet I will not forget you. So why don't you choose the love of God? Why don't you choose to connect properly to the love that is guaranteed not to fail? It says, I will not forget you. God says, I will not forget you. Your husband will forget you. Your wife will forget you. Yeah. They'll forget. They'll forget your birthday. They'll forget to pick you up. They'll just forget it's their anniversary. I mean, they've even forgotten they ever married you. Yeah. You ask them, what is today's date? Today's date, June 18th. Yeah, why do you ask? Doesn't it ring a bell? No, June 18th. That's supposed to be your wedding anniversary. Oh! Okay, congratulations. Happy anniversary. Yeah. Since you brought it up, you can have your congratulations. They have forgotten. They have forgotten. Then you say, I'll kill you. Hey. They'll just forget it again. It's just the nature of human beings to forget you. They'll forget to pick you up. Yeah, they dropped you off at the shop and they were supposed to come back for you. And they say, I forgot. And you feel so let down because it means to you that you don't mean so much to the person. But what it is you are trying to elevate yourself to a spot that actually belongs to God. Or you are trying to put them in a place that actually belongs to God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, it is only God. I mean, think about it. The woman who gave birth to her sucking child, the child who is still sucking her breasts, you know, the child who is still breastfeeding, the woman has forgotten that child. Think about it. So God is setting up the most unlikely of situations, and he says, even that you can expect that she will fail sometimes. Then he puts his love right on top of that. And he says, my love will not let you down. Yeah, even this one fails. But my relationship with you, you can always count on it. Hallelujah. You can always count on it. The deeper you are into God, the less you expect from people. Yeah, and you will not be disappointed when people disappoint you. You know, you will not feel disappointed. You will not feel hurt when people let you down. When people are not to you what they should be to you. Because a human being is just a human being. Do you understand? A human being is just a human being. A human being is just a human being. You cannot expect too much from a human being. Hallelujah. Only God can make you feel good. You are not supposed to be deriving your identity from who you are relating with or who is in your life. You're going to be disappointed. You will be disappointed. You will be hurt. Yeah, because it's the way human beings are. But God, he will satisfy you. Hallelujah. So the love of Jesus is greater than the love of a mother for her children. The love of Jesus, next one, is greater love because he sacrificed himself for us. He sacrificed himself for us. He sacrificed himself for us. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the love of God, demonstrated by him laying down his life for us. So you see that he gives us the example. He says, he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In other words, we must copy him. Do you understand? Yeah, thankfully he's saying we ought to do it because we don't. He's telling us what we are supposed to do, but it doesn't happen. That's not what we do. Hallelujah. That is why I'm teaching you to count more on the love of God than the love that you get from any human being. Can I have an amen? Right? It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. The sacrifice in love. Amen? When you love someone, you sacrifice things for them. Hallelujah. And that's the example that Jesus set for us. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Read that verse very quickly. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Wow! He shed his blood for us because he loved us. Isn't it? He that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That means he spent his blood to wash us from our sins and to make us better people through the sacrifice that he made. Hallelujah. That is why the greater love is to go towards God. He is the one that has loved us enough and that has found us worth his blood. If you count on a human being, you will find that they don't even think you are worth their time. Jesus Christ thought you were worth not only his time, but his blood. And he shed it for you. Why won't you go towards the greater love? Hallelujah. Why would you settle for a fake version, and a counterfeit version of love? A cheap version of love that does not go anywhere. And then finally, you shall not escape if you neglect such a great love. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Hallelujah. So what he's saying is that how are you going to escape? How are you going to manage? Do you understand? How are you going to get along? How are you going to survive if you despise this great demonstration of love? How are you going to make it if you disregard such a great demonstration of love, such a great provision that has been made for us, such a great display of love? How are you going to know it? How are you going to know even how to love somebody? How are you going to know how it feels to be loved? How are you going to know what a person is supposed to do for you when they say they love you? How are you going to know? How will you escape? How will you escape? How will you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? How can you escape when God has given his only begotten son to speak for us? Hallelujah. To speak for us. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Isn't it? And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So all of us deserve to die and go to hell because of our sins. Just like anybody who has been sentenced or who has been arrested for some problem, and the person deserves to go to jail. But then comes Jesus, who is our advocate. Jesus is like our lawyer, who comes to talk for us, who comes to establish a case for us, who comes to say, yes, he did it, but he did it because of this and that and that. And my blood is washing him. Wow. My blood is standing between him and what he has done and what he deserves to have because of what he has done. And his brother says, how are you going to escape if you despise such a love? Hallelujah. We cannot do much without the love of God. We cannot do much without the love of God. We cannot do much. We cannot go far without the love of God. We cannot walk in love. We cannot be to people what we are supposed to be to them if we neglect the love of God. People cannot be to us what they are supposed to be to us if we neglect the love of God. We need the love of God. We need this greater love. And we need the depth of it. We need to have a deep relationship with God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to have a deep relationship with God. You need to have something that holds you up, which is stronger than the love of a man or the love of a woman or the love of a parent or the love of a sibling or the love of a friend. You need something that is deeper, something that is wider, something that is stronger, something that is capable of handling more. Because many of us are a handful. You know that you need someone who has wider arms. And someone who can sustain you through more situations than what we are experiencing right now. And that love is only found in God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Amen. And he that loveth not, he knoweth not God, because God is love. There is no love outside God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get deeper into God. Amen. Let's get deeper into God. The more we get into God, the more love we will find in Him. The more love we'll find in Him for the people around us, and the more love we'll find in Him to even determine what we can expect from people. The more love we'll find in Him, you know, to make up for what we cannot get from people. Hallelujah. So that our expectations from people will be less. Isn't it? Yeah. And when you expect less from people, you are able to relate with them for a long time. Yeah. Do you understand? Yeah. When you're not expecting much from people, you can relate with them for a long time. So it means the secret to longevity in marriage, you know, is actually going deeper into the love of God. Hallelujah. The secret to longevity in relationships is knowing God more, because that is going to help us. Can I have an amen? I hope you understand my message today. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Please stand to your feet, everybody, and let's say a word of prayer quickly before we leave this place. Amen. I want you to bow your heads and please it's just going to be a moment. I don't want anybody to go out. Just bow your heads with me. We're just going to have a private moment with the Lord for just a few moments. You know, the love of God, the greater love of God. Just think about it. Jesus said, love does not get greater than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. It doesn't get greater than this, that a man should lay down his life for friends. What he's saying is that I have the best love. He's giving us a signal and saying, I have the greatest love. He said, it doesn't get better than this. I have the highest version of love. He's advertising his love as the best love to subscribe to. He says, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Maybe you are subscribing to one of the lower levels of love, one of the lower kinds of love. Perhaps you are at a place where your children are everything to you. That's a lower love. Perhaps your husband is everything to you. That's a lower love. Perhaps your wife is everything to you. That's a lower love. Maybe your job, your career is everything to you. You have found something that you like very much and you've made it your God. But Jesus
this afternoon is advertising his love. And he says, greater love has no man than this. He says, I have the biggest, the largest, the widest, the strongest version of love is found with me. And he says, change your subscription. Change your subscription. And begin to subscribe to my love. He wants you to love him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to love him first. To make him the first in your life. From this afternoon. He wants you to respond to that love. I want you to close your eyes and pray and say, Lord, today I make a promise to you. I do not want and I will not let anything come between you and I. I will not put a human being between you and I. I will not put a person between you and I. I will not put my children between you and I. I will not love you or love anything more than you, because I am signing up for the greater love. I'm signing up for a depth in God that no human being can bring to me. Oh God, I'm signing up for that love in the name of Jesus. Just pray, everybody, just pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some of us have already experienced disappointment from people. But you know, it's not their fault. You are expecting too much from them. It's like expecting a cat to chew a bone. It's just not in him to do that. He just can't do it. Expecting something from a person that he's not capable of giving to you will by all means lead you to disappointment. But God says, here I am. If it's love you're after, if it's a feeling of being special you're after, it comes from your relationship with God. It does not come from another human being. It does not come from another human being. It comes from knowing God. The more you know God, the more you will feel his love. The more you will experience his love. And he will take care of you. Thank you, Jesus. As we close the service, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to respond to this greater love. I want to respond to the love, first of all, that forgives my sins. The love that washes away my sins. The love that makes me a child of God and gives me a chance to know God. I want to respond to that love. If that is your prayer this afternoon, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Quietly, just raise up your right hand. I'll pray with you. You're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to respond to that love. I realize that I need my sins to be forgiven, first of all. I need my sins to be forgiven. I need to be saved. I need the blood of Jesus to wash me and to cleanse me from my sins, first of all, so I can have a chance at knowing God. Is there anybody here like that this afternoon? Raise up your right hand if you want to give your life to Jesus today. Is there anybody here like that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody here like that this afternoon? I'll pray with you. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we all just say this prayer together as we close? Say with me, say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the greater love. I thank you for loving me the way you have. No one can love me as you do. And I understand it this afternoon. So, Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I respond to your love. I want to love you back.
But please forgive my sins and let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Let your blood cleanse me, Lord. Let it wash me and make me a child of God. I want to live for you. I want to walk in your love. I want you to give me the capacity to love. Give me the ability to walk in the greater love with all the people around me. I want to be a person who walks in love. I want to walk in the love of God. So help me, Jesus, to live for you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord.